don't want to spend a whole lot of time. We're not here for a long time, but a good time in the Lord. Take your Bible, if you will. If you're able to turn to the book of Jude, verse number 12 and 13, if you find the place you're able to stand, you may do so. And it's only the book of Jude. There's not any chapters. It's just verses. But verse number 12, the Bible says, when you begin to look into it, that he named three men. One of them's name was Cain. One of them was Balaam, and the other one was Kor. All of them religious, lost, undone, without God. And here's what he says in verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity, whenever they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with the winds, and trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, in whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly, among them that are ungodly, of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, and walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we thank you for it. How good it is once again to be back here in the house of God. We thank you for these you've saved, and Lord, we'll thank you for the privilege to witness their baptism tonight. We pray that you'd be able to hedge about them. Lord, bless these others that have gathered tonight. There's one lost without God. May you pound upon their heart's door. May they see themselves like you see them before it's too late. May you grant them repentance and grant them faith to believe in you. Now bless, I pray, the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now in the lesson that we're looking at, it's the last book before that you get to the last book books of the Bible, the book of Revelation. I want to say to you that I've got an old sermon, and I preached it a time or two in days gone by. It's entitled, Rotten Spots and I'm Not Hungry. You know, when you got saved, the Bible said, is that blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God tonight, you hunger and thirst and have a hunger down in your heart for the blessed word of the Lord. In fact is, when you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and know that there be those that are religious, and this crowd was religious, and they were lost without God, and the Bible said they had no regard for God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. And the Bible said that they wanted to be identified with the people of God, though they themselves were not children of God. Do you know, in this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find out these feasts of charities that was listed, that he mentioned this there. Notice, if you will, is that the Bible said that when we got saved and when we got called to preach, that we're to feed the flock of God, taking the oversight thereof. And let me tell you, the flock of God's a hungry flock. They want to know what God said, where he said it, chapter, book, and verse for it. And make no mistake about it, it's part of our learning. It's part of our love. It's part of our labor that we're exercising forth by the word of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. The house of God needs food from the word of the Lord. And let me tell you right now, is you can get it anywhere else. I was thinking about these boys winning their championship ball game the other night, and we were thinking about that big old ring they got. I couldn't even pick it up. And I can tell you right now, is I'm not against any of that. I'm not against that. I'm for that, having kids and right and being able to do things. I see them praying together out there on the mound. You can't find that in the public school system no more. But what I'm saying to you is simply this, something there's more important to you and I than any of that we're talking about here tonight in the secular world. You know what it is? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the day you got saved and God put a hunger in your soul for the blessed word of the Lord. Now, in this Bible lesson that we're looking at, there's a caution that God gives us in this chapter. You know what it is? Not everybody in the church is born again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. I got to say to you that if you will, that if you are not right in your own heart, I ain't got to be here to tell you that. You already knew that before you got here. As we begin to look into this Bible lesson, we begin to recognize that though there's some imposters that want to join up with the house of God. They're not saved, more likely not ever going to get saved. And God said, there's spots in your feast of charity. Now, you know what a spot is? That's a rotten place. Whenever you're picking up fruit, you know, and I was watching over there the other day. I don't buy stuff. My wife does all that, but every now and again I go and try to help her load and unload and this and that. I seen somebody picking up them big, robust pieces of fruit of various kinds, and they were mashing them. I don't know if they were doing their calisthenics by their fingers or what, but you could just tell, I didn't want that one there. You know why? It's got five bruises on it. And by the time you get it home, they're going to be looking ugly. I got to say to you that, if you will, is that I don't know about you, but I like my food without a lot of rotten spots on it. I certainly don't want no rotten spots in it. I was preaching years ago and going somewhere, and me and a fellow, Brother Hooch is who it was, and we were going up the country there, and I was riding with him, Mississippi. Now, that was back before we had money to buy a tank of gas without having to split it three ways, and there wasn't but two of us, and we were short a man. Long and short of it was, I got up there, and I was glad that somebody gave us a place to spend the night, because back then we didn't have two nickels to rub together hardly. I mean, if we could get there and get back, we were fortunate. Anyhow, we were eating in a man's house there that were good friends, a good brother, and I can't even remember his name. That's how close we were, but I'll tell you, he was a good man. And I was sitting down there to eat, you know, and he was bragging about his wife getting all of the garden planted and everything harvested and brought in. And I was sitting down there and I was looking at it. We're talking about rotten spots, and I'm not hungry. I want to say that as I sat there, they went to passing stuff around. Do you know that if you don't wash new potatoes, that's potatoes dug right out of the ground, if you don't wash them up real good, they're going to be kind of gritty? This lady did not know that. I had some corn. It was great. By the way, let me tell you, it had. Have you ever had corn that came right off the cob, and somebody had taken a knife and made cream corn out of it and cut all of that off, then chopped it up a little bit, you know, and put it in and cooked it as cream corn? You ought to take the corn silk off of that and not chop that up with it. It makes a better meal. I'm not complaining. I was glad to be able to get it. I was looking at that, and hey, preacher, take some of this, and hey, looky here at that. And then all of a sudden, you know, they had a big old tumbler that big, you know. I don't know where you'd find them now, but them old big plastic tumblers from one of the places that you'd probably go to buy a hamburger or something. And I picked mine up after having a little bit of grit from the potatoes, a little bit of corn silk from the corn, and whatever else. Oh, yeah, snap beans with strings in it. You know how that it's got that little zipper, you break it loose and pull it down? You're to throw that away. It wasn't, but you're to throw that away. And so I'm sitting there and I'm doing that, and I'm doing pretty good with it. And I pick up that big old tumbler, and there's a roach, a little bitty one, that is stuck in the side of that plastic tumbler. I want to tell you right now, it wasn't a big roach. It was one of them little bitty jobs. And it looked like he had been several rounds, and he was up against the side like that, you know. Whatever it was, but he had been slung there pretty tight. I'm not too weak in my stomach, as you well already have heard, no. But that just about got me. And so I went to lying. I said, ma'am, I think this bug or something has flew into my cup. I knew that it hadn't flown in there. As stuck as that was on there, I'd done tried to knock it loose. I thought, but it was stuck on there. It'd been through a washing or two. I said all that to be able to say this. We finally got through that fine meal that was there, and it was a good effort, and I bless the Lord for it, and I was glad to get it. She said, oh, let me go get you another glass full. And I thought, Lord, I hope she's not just pouring that out and refilling that same tumbler. I'm going to need something, because I'm going to know it. That buddy's stuck. I said, oh, I'd say this, if you'd been there with me, if your stomach wasn't very strong, you might have got to where you think, you know, I'm just not hungry. Do you know that's exactly what the devil wants to do in every house of God? He wants to stir up a sting. He wants to put the wrong ingredients in. He wants to make it where you're not hungry for the things of God. You ever notice that when you first got married? You wives will know what I'm talking about. You ever notice that when you first got married, you can't cook like his mama could? It's awful quiet now, but I mean, it's just a fact of life. Oh, I guess you won't watch your mama's fixing. Well, excuse me, but no, I just was pointing out that sometimes, you know, with pancakes, it's good to have a little bit of butter and some syrup to go with it. My wife's never done that, by the way. When I married her, she was the kid that was cooking for a big family, so she already knew how to cook. I remember that day at the wedding, they were crying, man, he's taking the cook away. I said all that to be able to say this, oh, when you got saved by the grace of God, it made you hungry, it made you thirsty for God, it made you thirsty about the things of God, it made you want to know what was right and what was wrong in the sight of the Lord. And let me tell you something, the devil wants to destroy that for you if he possibly can. I want to say to you, as we get down to the short roll and as we're closing, these things that destroy our appetites are things of pollution. These are things that, because of the fact this crowd is a mad crowd, they're miserable themselves, and they're not going to be happy till you're as miserable as they are. Shame on the devil, or anything he can do about it. I've been washed by the blood, born into the family of God, and I'm looking forward with great anticipation to the soon coming again of the Lord. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something. The Bible said these are people that are full of madness. Did you notice that? They've got no fear of God in their eyes. They live like they want to live, go where they want to go, do whatever they want to do, hang out with any crowd they want to hang out with. And let me tell you, there's no fear of God, the Bible says, in their eyes. I want to tell you something else. He said they're like clouds without water, no freshness with them about that. You know, you haven't got to be around somebody. I had somebody tell me one time, well, you can't look at me and tell if I'm saved or not. No, but I can talk to you a few minutes and tell it. That Bible said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. Let me talk with you a few minutes. I can tell you what's in that heart. I want to say to you, this is a crowd here, they had no freshness. This is a crowd here that had no facts. This is a crowd here that had no fruit. And boy, let me tell you right now, according to verse number 13, this is a crowd that's got no future. What a reservation that God's got for them of blackness, of darkness, and forever. What a sad day that'll be. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm saved, and I'd like to see as many people as I come in contact with come to know the Lord. They're not going to, but I'd like to see it. I'd like to see people. I've seen some, you name them, whatever shape you want to see them in, and I guarantee you right now is I've seen them, God reach down and save their soul and put their feet on the solid rock and establish their going, and I've seen some of them years ago that happened to, been going for God ever since. It's just good to be saved and to rejoice with those that are saved as well. This is a crowd right here that are mingled in with the body of Christ. And the Bible said they're spots. And what they're going to do is that they're going to do what they can to kind of curb your appetite away from God. But that's why in verse 21, and we'll be done, he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I got to tell you right now, as you stay close to the Lord, I don't ever come, whatever comes your way in life, regardless of how bad, how dark, how ugly, how mean that it may or may not be, you keep your eyes focused upon the Lord. And I'll guarantee you, he's able to perfect that which concerneth thee as well as me. It's good to be saved, and it's good to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. As my family were singing that, God is still good. I'm telling you, it does my heart good. Every time I hear Tanner and his group, y'all ever come up with a name? Uh-huh. Tonight you got a green tie, and we could call it the Green Tie Quartet. We could call it the Improv Group, because that's what Lucas said that he's studying for. Or we could name it after one of those girls. I got to tell you something right now. It does my heart good to hear them singing for the Lord. I'll tell you something else. Is that a family like that getting up and singing? That's a blessing. That's just a blessing from on high. And so I guess Mackenzie is really playing this little bass thing because I can hear it every now and again. I guess she's really playing that. Are you really playing it? It's not a record inside it. It's really you playing. There you go. That's a blessing, isn't it? That's just a blessing. I want to say to you, you ought to keep yourself in the love of God, and you ought to be able to watch and guard your heart and your mind until the day that Jesus shall come again. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. I praise you and thank you that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would disturb every person that needs to be saved, and that you'd comfort those that already are. Help us, I pray, to remember to pray one for another. We want to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now bless the remainder of this service. We want to say thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brother Mark, you can be seated.